With me in your Bibles, please, to our Old Testament reading, which would be Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or, if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest to Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So we come now to Genesis 13, which is something of a transition passage. We now have Abram coming out of Egypt, and notice how he comes out. He comes out a rich man. Pharaoh richly furnished Abram with many of the tokens of riches in that day. He had flocks and herds. He had manservants and maidservants, and he had some gold and silver with him as he comes out of Egypt. But notice the first thing that Abram does, he settles in the land, builds an altar, and calls upon the name of the Lord. This is obviously Abram's priority here. And we want to make sure that we get that. When Abram goes back into the land, he does, if you will, a retracing of his steps. He's going back, if you will, he's going back to the fountain. He's going back to where he had called upon the Lord at first. We might be tempted to ask why, and there are some conjectures out there. We wouldn't be dogmatic on any one of these, but perhaps there is some kind of chiding, some type of chastisement, some type of conscience grinding in Abram because of what he did in Egypt. He put his wife at risk, didn't he? He said to the Egyptians, she is my sister, instead of speaking openly and candidly with them. And so Maybe there is a bit of, you know, I think I need to go back to the well here. I think I need to go back and run those first steps over again and call upon the name of the Lord. Make this a priority instead of this temporal focus that I have had. Even if that's not what Abram was doing, it's a good application that we can make from this and other places in Scripture. So he goes back to Bethel and he calls upon the name of the Lord. And I think that's why he chose Bethel. He goes back to do the first works, much like the Ephesian church is counseled to do in the book of Revelation. Many of the saints of God have had times of spiritual regrouping and recuperating after some trial and after spiritual failure. This is a way to greater sanctification. Perhaps you've had a difficulty and maybe one particular portion in Scripture has been more meaningful to you than others in, say, coming up against a besetting sin or something like that. And what do? You go back to that well. You go back to that place. You go back to the places where God has most decidedly, most particularly in your case, revealed Himself as faithful, and you do that to gain strength. All right, so Abram charges his spiritual batteries then in Bethel, and notice they are indeed charged, because now he will have strife with Lot. They will strive over the land because the Lord has blessed them to a degree that now their herdsmen are striving together and they're competing for grazing rights and water for their flocks and herds. Let us make this application immediately at the outset. As Solomon said, telling us, and remember Solomon was the wisest and richest king that ever lived. He told us, as riches increase, so do they that eat them. In other words, it's not always good. When riches increase, not everything is good. Riches themselves are a neutral thing. Whatever they carry with them good and bad. Right? And so here, notice this difficulty. Lot and Abram separate. Of course, the Lord's providential hand is in that. We'll see it later on in the book. We learn some valuable lessons from it here. But what is so very important about it is that Abram, with his spiritual batteries and his confidence in the Lord completely full, when these difficulties take place, he meets them head on with confidence and with faith. And so he says to Lot, "We ought not to be striving. We are brethren." Don't you hear the pathos in Abram there? This isn't proper. This isn't fitting. This isn't appropriate for you and I, Lot, and your herdsmen of mine and your servants of mine and mine. They represent us, and so they should be like we are. We are brethren. They should be brothers one to another. Let's put some distance between us. And this is a very pragmatic and yet a very, very helpful thing that Abram proposes here. But I also want you to notice his confidence in the Lord. And this is how you can tell that he's confident. He says, "Lot, you choose. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." He could have pulled rank. "I'm your uncle." He could have said, "I'm the one to whom God made the promise. I'll tell you where to go." But his confidence in God is such that it doesn't matter where Lot goes. It's all his anyway. And he's completely sure of that. And the Lord will come after Lot separates from him and reiterate that to him. His confidence in the promise of God concerning the land of Canaan and the plains of Jordan and the valley of Jordan and the highlands of Jordan. He's not confused about any of that. "Lot, you go wherever you want and I'll go the other direction to put us some space so that we're not arguing and fighting with one another." And so notice also that not only is he confident in God's promise pertaining to the land, but he is also confident in God's promises that this kingdom that is going to arise later in history out of Abraham's loins is a kingdom of peace. "Lot, it is inappropriate for us to be striving with one another." All right, so Lot, for his part, he becomes suddenly very temporally minded. And so he lifts up his eyes and he looks. And children, what should have been Lot's first first thought. Where can I go to find people that believe in the Lord if we're going to separate Abram and I? Where can I go to find believers? People that are going to help me and encourage me. Friends with whom I can associate that are fellow Christians, fellow believers that will strengthen me in my obedience, strengthen me in my faith, strengthen me in my knowledge, and help me follow the Lord. Is that what Lot did? No. He did something exactly opposite to that. He looked around with complete temporal concern and said, "Ooh, look at that land there. That is well watered like the garden of God. I'm going to take my family there for its comforts, for its temporal pleasures." You know that Lot is not alone in that. We see people making decisions on where they're going to live all the time, based on exactly those same concerns. Well, some of you may want to talk about that later. I have a few other things to say on it, but they're not fit for what we're talking about here. But this makes really good conversation when you flesh out those principles. So Lot makes a choice. And he makes a choice for temporal pleasantness, pleasure. And in so doing, he makes a choice against godliness and obedience. And Moses is sure to tell us that when he says in verse 13, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." What should Lot have thought? "I don't want any part of that. I don't want to go there. Why would I live there where the major portion of the population of that place are wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly? Why would I want to live there?" And yet, many professing Christians make decisions exactly like that with regard to where they're going to live. Beloved, take heed. Where we see the weakness in Lot's faith, although he is a righteous man, that is righteous by faith alone, and he is a man of faith, we will see it weakly diminished, won't we? So that Lot then, and the training and the habit and the constant vexation of the sinners around him, as Peter will describe it in 2 Peter, well, those factors have taken their toll on Lot's obedience, have they not? So, very important stuff to consider there. These are things that affect all kinds of decisions. We're told to seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and the Lord's righteousness. Lot did not choose wisely. All right, so now we go to verses 14 through the end. And we see the happy result of not insisting upon your own way, having confidence in the Lord. And so Abram gave up to Lot, and the Lord gave all that and more back to Abram. He had confidence in God's promises. He knew that whatever Lot did, he was going to be cared for. His inheritance was not at risk. He was able to, quote, prefer someone else's way in order that there would be peace between them. And so Abram sought a righteous end in a righteous way, or through righteous means. And the Lord blessed him. Beloved, this is a very, very good example to us. Always choose righteous ends through righteous means. And have confidence in the Lord that even though temporally it doesn't look good, it will be. We just don't see everything that's going on yet. We can have confidence in the Lord's working in those things. All right, with that then, let's stand and continue praising God.